time to a simpler place, to a place where people got along a little bit more. It seemed like problems were easier and that people were a little more united. Now, for the adults here, maybe you've had a few more of those moments than for the younger ones among us. When I think back to when I was your age, which wasn't too long ago, but a little bit ago, it seems like things were a lot different. I can think back to, I grew up on the south side of Milwaukee, and on that block there was a group of us kids that always played every day in summer and got up early and stayed out till 11 o'clock at night, and we ran around, and none of our parents worried if we were going through the yards at night, having bonfires, all those types of things. We just didn't worry. You know, we also look at 9/11 as kind of a change in our culture as well, which I know for many of you, I don't think you were alive for 9/11, right? Boy, that's a strange thought. Makes me feel old. But sometimes we can think, boy, if only we could live in a world that was just simpler. And I suppose it's for good reason as we look around and we recognize, you know, violence that happens, crimes that are committed. You know, when we get to a safe place, it seems like even there, evil can sometimes creep in. And so with every instance of our security being threatened, we become a little more fearful. And with every time our trust is broken, we board up our hearts a little bit more. These kind of thoughts come to mind for me as I think of the disciples who were locked away in the upper room. Danger was closing in. Jesus had just been killed, and they were wondering if they were going to be next. You know, they knew Jesus. They were accomplices. Were the Jewish leaders going to come for them too? And that door of the upper room is representative not only of the fears of the first apostles in that moment, but also the fears of humanity down through the centuries. And while it's a normal human emotion, we all feel scared at times, fear left unchecked is quite powerful. And if we don't do something about it, it can take a hold of our lives in ways that we hadn't even imagined. For the disciples, their fear was so strong that they had forgotten everything Jesus had taught him for 3 years. Jesus predicted what was going to happen, that he would have to suffer, that he would rise again, that he would send the Holy Spirit. He told them what they would be called to do. They witnessed countless miracles, yet their fear in this moment was so strong that they had no hope for a miracle, despite all they had experienced. I imagine that, especially for the adults here, most of us can think of a time in our life where we felt that kind of extreme fear. You know, maybe if you're worried about a job loss or something bad happening to someone. Kids, maybe it's that nervousness before a test where your stomach drops out. Heaven forbid, maybe something even worse comes to mind. And I mentioned this over the weekend, but I remember Deacon Kurt telling a story when he thought he lost his daughter in the grocery store and the fear that that hit in your stomach. And if any of you have lost your kids, you don't have to admit it, but you'll know what that fear feels like. The locked door of that upper room, which the disciples thought protected them from anything and anyone, was no match for Jesus. With just a mere thought, he passed through that locked door, not to admonish the disciples, not to chastise them, not to give them a hard time for being fearful. No, he came into that room for the sole purpose of giving them his peace. With their fear so strong, he even said to them a second time, "Peace be with you." Over the course of our history as a church, we've experienced persecutions, scandals, decline in numbers, heresy, and societal attacks that try to take us out of the equation. Indeed, we've had much to be fearful for in our history, all of which is represented in that door of the upper room. Yet time and again, Jesus passes through those barriers, offering us his peace and always bringing about a greater good. You see, it's by no accident that the church has preached the gospel of Jesus Christ for 2,000 years. It is the work of his Holy Spirit who he promised to send us as an advocate, meaning that the Holy Spirit is the one who speaks for us, defends and pleads our cause, and guides us in the way of truth. Unfortunately, as we look at the current situation in the world today, we still have some reasons to be fearful. Or at least it makes sense that we would feel that way. The continual rise of secularism in our society, which viciously attacks the core principles of religion, the attack on the human person, with attempts to redefine personhood itself, the culture of death, and even just the simple unwillingness to listen to another person. Now, not all of these are new challenges, but some are. And certainly they seem more prevalent today than they did in the past. And I'll be honest with you guys. I've only got 3 weeks left, so what if, you know, it doesn't matter. I can be honest. When I've looked at different articles and read books and on these different topics of how to, you know, combat some of these trends and how to save the church and all those types of things, it's really easy to read those things and get very scared. And to think, well, how in the world are we ever going to get over this? What are we going to do? There's been times where I've lost hope and thought, well, what does it matter? Yeah, I'm just one person. And so how is it that I as a priest, but we as a church, are going to combat some of these things, especially in a society that, you know, if we want to talk about God, well, it's hard to talk about God if some people don't even acknowledge his existence. And so in those moments, I try not to sit and feel sorry for myself or us. What often comes to mind is what started that first Pentecost Sunday. It was despair. Fear, hopelessness, despair. Those were all the emotions that filled that upper room on that first Pentecost Sunday. I remember the fact that it's no accident that our church has survived and thrived for 2,000 years. What other organization can lay claim to that sort of history? There isn't one. Now, does that mean that we just sit back and presume everything's going to be fine? It doesn't matter what we do? Of course not. We know that we're called to preach the gospel, that we're called to make a difference. And if anything, our current world situation makes that all the more evident, that we have an opportunity to be a part of the solution, not part of the problem. And as I look at all the young faces here, I see a very bright future, because you have the opportunity to now preach the gospel in new and bold ways. And in the end of the day, you know, we need not fear, because it's God that has the tools to combat these trends, not us. It's God who works through us. If it were up to us alone, yeah, we might be in a little bit of trouble, but thankfully it's not. See, at one point in history, it was thought that the Messiah, the chosen one of God, was crucified, dead, and gone. Talk about despair. But what did God do? He was no match for him. In the face of that challenge, God displayed his power and his love in raising Jesus from the dead. That love is still on display as the fire of the Holy Spirit now burns in our hearts. You see, those flames that descended on the disciples' heads all those years ago, they were never extinguished. They were passed on, one believer to the next, one generation to the next, and now they burn within us. If you've noticed, we burn our Easter candle every Sunday Mass throughout the season of Easter. And at Pentecost, with the close of the Easter season, we will now extinguish it, only to be lit for baptisms, funerals, and such. But know that this flame, it's not really extinguished. It's being passed on into your heart. And with all the people you meet, the encounters you have, the good works that you do, this flame still burns bright. And so for anyone here today who is experiencing any type of fear, big or small, I encourage you to say this simple prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Three words, easy to remember, so simple it almost seems like it won't work. But in reality, that simple act of turning towards God and inviting the Spirit into your life will set your heart on fire in ways you couldn't imagine. It's not a magic trick that's going to make all our problems go away, but it will allow us to experience and use the gifts of the Holy Spirit to overcome the challenges put before us and to be a reason that other people have faith and come to know Jesus. And so it is that Jesus comes to us now at this Mass, most powerfully in the Eucharist. And he says to each one of us this evening, "Peace be with you."